Okay? Remember that report I was dictating? We've decided not to use it. It contains some faulty data. See, we were operating on the assumption that the trap personnel had failed to arm the trap, but after testing the systems, we found this not to be the case, so to speak. We got caught in our own trap, you might say. No problem. Anyway, all systems seemed to be functioning, and testing the systems had been the whole purpose of the mission, right? It was no big deal, and it could have happened to anyone. But it would become a bigger deal at 8 o'clock. I knew what was coming and stayed up most of the night rehearsing my story. Slim, I know what you're thinking. Hank blundered into the trap and set it off. Am I right? But let me assure you that it's not that simple. See, I wasn't with you yesterday when you set the trap, and, well, I felt some concern, a great concern, actually, that maybe it wasn't properly armed. See, I'm the kind of dog who cares about these things, so I couldn't sleep at all, Slim. No kidding. I mean, you talk about a dog who really cares about his people. That's me. Anyway, I felt it was my duty to, you know, check out all the systems. And, hey, what do you know? I trapped myself. At 8 o'clock in the morning, the shed door opened. Slim stepped inside. There was no ha-ha in his face. I recognized several of his usual morning characteristics. A mug of coffee hooked into his index finger, soggy red-rimmed eyes, a pillow crease on his right cheek, and a humorless slash of a mouth. He stared at me, and I stared at him. I tried to squeeze up a smile and began tapping out a slow rhythm with my tail. Tap, tap, tap. He mumbled, "Hank, what in the cat hair are you doing in my coon trap?" Well, it was hard to explain. No, it was impossible to explain with him standing there, glaring at me with those horrible bloodshot eyes. No wonder he was still a bachelor. Any woman who saw that face in the morning would call the police. But, wait. He took a sip of coffee and smiled. Then he started laughing. The frost and ice in his face melted into something warmer and kinder, and I began to feel better about this deal. "Hank, you are such a bird brain, and my life would be so boring if someone was to wring your neck. Well, let's get you out of there." Oh, happy day. He wasn't going to wring my neck or leave me inside the trap for weeks and weeks. He opened the door and let me out. Oh, freedom and friendship. I leaped into the middle of him with such an awesome display of love and devotion that it knocked him into a bale of hay and he fell over backwards. I didn't care. I licked his face with a kind of vigor unknown to ordinary dogs. We were pals again. That's all that mattered. He understood that I'd been trying to do my job, and I understood that his calling me a bird brain had been a careless slip of the tongue. The old wounds were healed, and all was right with the world. Yippee! Quit. He pushed me away and rose to his feet. "Hank, there's just one thing I want to say. See that trap yonder? It's for a raccoon." Right, I understood that. "And I want you to promise me on your doggy word of honor that you won't spring my trap again." Oh, yes, sir. That was a promise. On my honor. 5 long hours inside the stupid trap had made me an older dog, a wiser dog in every way. I'd had time to review my life and think about my priorities, set goals and plan for the future, and he had my solemn oath that I would never pull that stunt again. Never. As you can see, Our clean slate was starting off on the right foot.